You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Skate Podcast on WEEI.com.
Bobby Orr, behind the net to Sanderson, Orr! Bobby Orr! Orr!
For the first time in 39 years, the Boston Bruins have won the Stanley Cup.
Talking Bruins and NHL.
Sure, old-time hockey. Like it is sure. Yeah.
With writer and producer Brian DeFelice.
Brian DeFelice is an emerging talent.
Bridget Prue.
Yeah, he's a little bit on the hot seat.
Burn him!
And WEEI.com Bruins writer Scott McLaughlin.
Great Scott!
Lace him up for some Bees talk right now.
I'm a damn dog!
It's the Skate Pod on WEEI.
Welcome into episode 134 of the Skate Podcast. I'm Brian DeFelice, joined by Scott McLaughlin. No Bridget today. We have a player interview. Scott was able to sit down with Taylor Hall for about, what would you say, Scott, 10, 15 minutes or so?
Yeah, it ran about 12 minutes.
Awesome. Yeah, so you guys will get to hear that in just a few minutes. But first, we did want to touch on some breaking Bruins news regarding the latest development on the Mitchell Miller saga that we've come to know it as. The Bruins, about 15 minutes ago, around 3 o'clock, maybe 3:15 on Tuesday, they released a statement that they were hiring a third-party investigation team to essentially figure out, who screwed up in the vetting process, the player vetting process. I think we've all commented on in the past, no matter who screwed up lower down the Bruins organizational, chain of command, like it, at the end of the day, Don Sweeney and Cam Neely should be wearing a lot of this as they're in the hierarchy of the Bruins organization. But Scott, I'll throw it to you and you can update just basically what the Bruins said verbatim.
Yeah. So the Bruins announced that they've hired a law firm to conduct an independent review of their player vetting process. It's going to be led by former U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch. And just reading from their statement, they say, we recently fell short of our high standards and disappointed both ourselves and many in our community. Moving forward, we are committing to ensuring that our values are reflected in everything we do as an organization, including our process for vetting future players. So, so this is the next step. We've been wondering what it would be or when we would hear from someone associated with the team again. Obviously, we haven't heard anything since Cam Neely's press conference, which was now over a week ago. So we were wondering, will we hear from Sweeney at some point? Will Neely have anything else to announce? Will there be some sort of internal discipline? Will we hear from one of the Jacobs? None of that has happened. There hasn't been any announcements about internal discipline. So instead, this is the next step. It's going to be this independent review. And I'm kind of thinking that we might not hear much until this is done now, because they could just fall back on, well, there's an independent review being done. We'll, comment when that's over. So we'll see where this goes, what it turns up. Obviously, Loretta Lynch is a pretty big name to get involved here. This is kind of like when the NFL hires Ted Wells to do the Deflategate investigation. It seems like a, It's a lot. I think it is kind of a big step. These things aren't usually like sugarcoated. I guess like the natural question is, is this all necessary? Like, shouldn't you be able to figure out on your own who's screwed up in your organization? But at the same time, like, I don't think it hurts to have something like this. Like, you do want to get to the bottom of it. I think it helps. It helps prevent you from screwing up this next step. like you screwed up the initial vetting, obviously. Camille has already admitted that. You don't want to now screw up the investigation of the vetting where you punish someone and now something else comes out about wasn't actually this person and you know so and so was involved, and like doing it independently, I think takes a lot of that out of it, where they're going to have their findings and the Bruins are going to have to abide by them. And, you know, will be some recommendations at the end of it and all that. So it kind of takes it out of their hands and puts it in someone else's.
Yeah. I mean, I think this tells you a few things. Number one, it tells you that why would the Bruins hire outside if they could just go down and have discussions with people in their own organization? So what it tells me is that this is the Bruins hiring a third party because they're trying to, I think, dig up dirt on Miller's agent and others, and maybe Miller himself or whomever, that may have deceived the Bruins personnel in this process. End of the day, I still feel like, you know, we all agree that they needed to have better judgment regardless of what people told them or didn't tell them. But I do think hiring outside is the Bruins saying that they're going to kind of try to go on the attack and explain why the Bruins may have been at fault here. Cause otherwise it's like,
I actually don't agree with that. I don't think that's what it's about. I think this is probably strictly that might end up being part of it where that gets looked at, but I think this is probably strictly about the Bruins' own internal processes of where they fell short. So part of it might cover like the agent or the player lied or misled them or whatever, but they'll come at it from the angle of why did we fall for it? Why didn't we do enough to investigate ourselves, basically?
Yeah. Okay. Well then in that situation, this whole thing, in my opinion, is very unnecessary because it's like, you know, Sweeney and Neely should be asking themselves the same questions. Why were they deceived? At the end of the day, they have to put their stamp of approval on things. So it's kind of like you're hiring somebody to look yourself in the mirror. And I just think these are conversations and these are findings that you don't need. This really isn't some Scooby-Doo mystery. It shouldn't be, but that kind of leads you to my other reasonings that you kind of brought it up a little bit earlier, but I think this is a Bruins way of also pushing this storyline down the road and pushing the field goal post down the road, because the Bruins, they signed him and then they parted ways with the kid. And I know they're still trying to technically figure out how they're going to do that, but everybody says that that's not going to satisfy the media from asking hard questions still, because they wanted to see, all right, well, where's going to be the repercussions? And as you mentioned, now this puts this puts people like yourself, Scott, and other reporters that are there at the rink every day kind of at bay, because you can't, at some point you can ask them again, but they're going to just sit there and say, like you said, it's under investigation. So this is them really kind of putting this story on the back burner now and kind of out of sight, out of mind, without actually having to come up with a real solution yet. And then I guess if my third takeaway from this would be, I kind of feel like Don is not going to lose his job over this at this point. I could be wrong in that. I mean, if they, I would just be very surprised if they hired a third party and then that third party's findings was essentially, yeah, kind of look at your GM. And then, cause that's like the most obvious thing in the first place. No.
Well, that's where hiring the third party can provide some cover from the standpoint of you don't have to answer questions until this is done. But it also does take it out of your hands where you could end up in kind of an awkward position where the investigation comes back and says, yeah, general manager Don Sweeney screwed up. And, you know, that's who's primarily responsible for this. And if you're the Bruins, you have to hear those findings and decide how you're going to act, you know, if that's what it comes back as. Obviously, we don't know what the findings are going to be. They're just starting this. But, like, it is sort of out of their hands in that respect of, you know, they could come back with, you know, a really damning indictment of Sweeney or of Neely or all of the above. And, you know, then it becomes this independent firm, like, they can't fire anybody, but they can put a whole lot of blame on one or two people and leave the Bruins in the position of deciding what to do in response to that.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I just think it's very unnecessary. It's a lot of work to, you know, potentially just do what, you know, sports organizations do every year, which is, you know, let go of prominent people in the organization. I mean, but you're right, though. But that's kind of why I do feel like it just kind of depends who this order came from. I mean, you have to imagine ownership got involved. So, like, if this was straight from Jeremy Jacobs' mouth and Charlie Jacobs, you know, that's one thing. But, if Cam had more to do with this, I do kind of feel it's a let's hire this third party, put the story in the back burner because we have the confidence in Don this year with this team going into trade deadlines, and he's in the middle of negotiations with David Pastrnak, and we don't want to mess with any of that. I don't know. I'm sure there's a bunch of reasons at play because this just seems way too over the top for something like this, in my opinion. I don't know. I mean, that's just my two cents on it. There's a reason for everything, I guess, but not to oversimplify, but I just feel like it's totally unnecessary. Like it shouldn't take a legal team to just, if you want to fire somebody for messing up, just fire them. I mean, I don't know if there's cause for it because I don't know.
Yeah, I've already seen like plenty of people on Twitter and social media sharing the "I think you should leave" the hot dog guy meme. I don't know if you've watched that show. It's incredible, but it's the guy in the hot dog costume and the car has crashed into a clothing store, and he's saying, "We're all trying to find the guy who did this."
Yeah,
it obviously there is a little bit of that too, where it's like, you know, I get it. Like, do you really need, you know, a former U.S. Attorney General to tell you that your front office screwed up and didn't talk to the people? No, but, you know, it's a way to, like I said, it's a way to make sure they don't screw things up further where, you know, they get accused of either not doing enough or of putting it on the wrong person or whatever. It makes it look like they're taking it seriously. I'm sure that's part of it, is they don't want to be seen as, you know, we didn't do enough. We just, you know, gave Don and maybe someone else a slap on the wrist and moved on and hope people forgot about it.
Yeah. Now, I'm not familiar with the hot dog reference, Scott, but you know, what did come to my mind was the episode of The Office where I think Dwight's looking for like some sort of like pedophile or something that's on the run, and Pam and Jim draw a portrait of Dwight Schrute, but like with a mustache or something like that, and he's looking for himself the whole episode. That's kind of what pops in my mind here, but yeah, I think there's a lot of, I don't know, it's just a lot. It's a lot. Are they trying to save their image and make it look like, oh, you know, because the term that was being used the most regarding the Boston Bruins last month was outside of the on-ice success was embarrassment. This is embarrassing for the organization. So how do you not look like a circus act? Well, you try to put on your big boy pants and hire this really successful law firm and whatever. It's just, you know, it's just a lot to me. Anyway, I guess we'll see how this plays out. My opinion is that we won't hear on this again for, I would say months. I wouldn't be surprised if this drags into the offseason, depending on what the findings say.
Yeah, I mean, all these lawyers are getting paid by the hour, so you know, they're not going to be in a rush.
No, you know, they can afford it up in Buffalo there. So, but I mean, at the end of the day, though, I mean, if you're the Jacobs, like this is you're really pissed at Sweeney and Neely. Like, yeah, the team is great on the ice right now. And they're really making a run at it here. We don't know what the next couple of years entails at the center ice position, but off the ice, you know, they're costing them money here. Like you just mentioned, like you're paying for something that just never should have been an issue. So, I mean, you have to imagine that they're pissed off. It's just, again, I just come back to saying this is a lot for something that really shouldn't be this complex. But like I said, there's probably a bunch of reasons, PR, otherwise, that they're kind of pushing the field goal posts on this. And if they do end up firing Sweeney and or Neely, like you said, there's well, they were legally counseled to probably do so, and it's less personal, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, before we get to the Taylor Hall thing, there's a couple of fun Bruins notes the past couple of days, Scott, because they've been off. Kind of feels like the summer again. They've been playing so much hockey that, you know, they get 4 days off, whatever it is. But did you happen to see the newest reporter for the Celtics, David Pastrnak? Did you see that video circulating online?
Yeah. So yeah, Pastrnak was at Monday night's Celtics game and wandered down to like the press conference locker room area after the game, and somehow ended up on one of the NBC Sports Boston stools that they use for their post-game interview with Coach Joe Mazzulla. And Pastrnak just decided to riff an entire interview where he played both reporter and coach and started answering his own questions about the game. Very entertaining.
He's such a great person to cheer for. I adore the kid, honestly, as a player and off the ice too. You just like, there's a lot to love about him. I remember when the Bruins first drafted him, there was a video of him. He did some video back when he was, I want to say, probably 17 years old. He was playing over in Sweden. Obviously, he's a Czech native. So for him, that was, he was living in a different country at a young age. I think most kids at 16, 17 here in the States, you're trying to figure out how to ask a girl to prom. And here's Pastrnak living on his own, playing professional hockey. And he talked about in that video about the loss of his father at a young age. Obviously, he and his girlfriend went through a tragic loss a little over a year ago now with their newborn son. He's endured a lot of tragedy in his life at a young age, but he just continues to walk around with a smile on his face and be a very warm person to be around. So I just think that, and that's off the ice. On the ice, he's obviously a top player in the NHL. So it's just affirmation, like, just the Bruins have to do whatever it takes to sign him. And I know it's tough because, like I said a few weeks ago, it takes two to tango, but it would be heart-wrenching if Bruins fans have to watch him in a different jersey next year. That would just be so, so terrible. So hopefully they can get something done.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned this at one point last year, kind of projecting forward. Like, if you sign David Pastrnak to a long-term deal, he's on pace to eventually be the leading goal scorer in franchise history. Like, that record is very much in his sights if you lock him up for 8 years. And, it might take a little longer than that, but, add in, like, a 1 or 2 year deal at the end or something. But it's, like, that's the caliber player you're talking about. And, yeah. And, obviously, like you said, caliber person, too. On the good person front, a couple of stories there as well. People might have noticed at the end of Sunday's game that it was right after the Bruins' third goal. Patrice Bergeron, you could see him saying something to Tage Thompson of the Sabres and kind of tapped him with his glove and his stick before the faceoff. And Tage Thompson on Monday told the Buffalo News that it wasn't just, a veteran saying, hey, good game to a young kid. It was Bergeron asking about Tage Thompson's wife, who had battled cancer in 2019, had like a cancerous mass in her leg. And fortunately, she's been cancer-free now, remains cancer-free, like it's all good. But just and Bergeron has a family connection there. He played with Tage Thompson's father in the AHL back in the lockout year in 2004-05. And I guess went over to their house quite a few times and like played street hockey with little kid Tage Thompson and his brother at the time. There's that Bergeron story. Then on Tuesday, Jeremy Swayman returned to practice. So we'll touch on, I'll just mention that briefly. First time he's practiced since his injury 2 weeks ago. Hasn't been ruled out for Thursday or Saturday yet, but they're going to have to see how he responds on Wednesday. But Swayman was asked about, Nick Foligno, like stepping into his post-game goalie celebrations, replacing him with Allmark in the celebrations, and taking a different direction and mentioned that when Swayman was on his way back to Boston after the injury, Foligno texted him asking what his address was and said Foligno's wife Janelle had cooked a bunch of food for Swayman that they dropped off at his place that was just waiting for Swayman when he got back. And Swayman said like that just meant like so much to him, and like he said it like almost brought him to tears. He just wasn't even expecting something like that. So we started this with obviously all the bad stuff from the front office, but lots of good stuff from the players.
Yeah, and it's been lots of good stuff from the players all season long, which is what made all the bullshit the more aggravating. It was just, you know. But, yeah, Nick Foligno just continues to win over fans that were critical of him last year. And as we've said, rightfully so, he wasn't good last year. There were reasons for it, I'm sure, but he just wasn't. And he was carrying a pretty hefty contract to perform at a low caliber. But he's playing much better this year, and you see the importance of him in the locker room as a person. And that aspect of it was there last year. Just as fans, we can't see that. But yeah, all good stuff for the Bruins. I think now is probably a good time, Scott, to throw it over to your interview with Taylor Hall. Anything you want to tease? Any notes of it, or just takeaways from it before we get to listen to it?
We just talked about being a fun team for him to be a part of. Talking about where he's at in his career, how this is sort of what he had in mind as like best case scenario when he got traded to Boston and then signed the extension. Talked about the second line struggling a little bit, especially at 5-on-5, and so he opened up about. He talked about he feels like it maybe wasn't reasonable to expect like Krejci to completely hit the ground running after a year away. He acknowledged that his own game hasn't been where he wants it to be, especially like the last 5 or 6 games. I think he has 1 point in the last 6 games. So covered all that. Asked him about Linus Ullmark and Pavel Zacha, two guys he was teammates with in the past. Obviously Ullmark having an incredible season, Zacha fitting in pretty nicely so far. And then I have to ask him about the news of the day, which is the Taylor Swift ticket sales crashing the internet. had to get his take on that. I asked him who the biggest Swiftie on the team is, so you'll get those answers too.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to hearing it. So let's throw it over to Scott's one-on-one interview right now with Taylor Hall.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Here with Taylor Hall on the Skate Podcast. Taylor, thanks for taking a few minutes. How much fun has this been for you guys, getting off to best start in team history?
Yeah, it's been amazing to be a part of. And, taking it one game at a time, when you're playing games and you have, 3 or 4 or 5 games a week, you kind of get lost in it. But it's been incredible to look back on, the best start in home history for a storied franchise like that, like we play for. That's pretty special. So, we're enjoying it. We realize that it's a long season and there's going to be ups and downs, but certainly this has been a lot of fun to be a part of, especially with a group that we have a lot of fun together. We enjoy being around the rink together, and to come out and produce and play well to start the year like this has been special.
You mentioned the perfect home start, 9-0, the best in team history. Can you sense, more excitement around this team, kind of each night when you guys get out there?
Yeah, I mean, we've always had great support from our fans. I think this year is a little bit different. We had, Krejci and Berge come back, and we see the depth that our team has and the way that we can play against really any team in the league. It's fun to be a part of. It's exciting, and I know, we really enjoy playing in front of our fans and for this city. We try and embody the toughness that this city, really brings, and we embrace that. So it's been fun to sense the excitement, and hopefully we can keep that going.
You mentioned toughness, and we've seen it, a few times now that guys are stepping up, defending teammates, you know. And obviously physicality takes, you know, more ways than just dropping the gloves, but do you feel like you guys have that element of being able to kind of stand up with anyone and play that way if needed?
Yeah, I mean, team toughness, the definition of that has changed over the years, and, we don't have heavyweights on our team, and certainly we don't have guys that, you know, are going to fight every night, but it's important to stick up for each other, and it's important to play physical and play in between the whistles and know that, you know, whatever game it kind of turns into, we can adapt to that. Playing against Carolina last year, you saw that they had an element of grittiness and toughness to their team, especially when the playoffs came around. So for our team, we have to know that there's going to be teams like that are possibly in our way, and we have to be, like I said, be able to adapt. Then I think we can. You see last game, two fights. It gets the crowd going. It really shows that we can stick up for our teammates, and that's a really important thing to have as the season goes on.
I know the goal is always to win the Stanley Cup, and, you know, there's a long ways to go before that, you know, really becomes a serious conversation, but do you allow yourself to get excited at all that, you know, that this could be something special this season?
Well, I mean, that's the end goal, right? And we're working towards that, and it's always good to have goals, and it's always good to have, you know, something at the end of the tunnel to look forward to. But we understand that it's a process, and, you know, maybe our next 16 games aren't going to be as easy as the first 16 have. We've gotten some breaks. We've had a lot of guys play well, and who knows what's in store for us. We know that there's going to be ups and downs, and honestly, hopefully some adversity that we have to overcome, because that's important to go through before you get to the playoffs, right? You don't want to have a season where you don't really get challenged mentally. We're going to be in spots, and we're going to have to overcome things. So we're ready for that. I think we have a great leadership group, and a lot of guys that have been, you know, to Stanley Cups, have won cups, have been to finals, have played a lot of playoff games. So we're excited for the challenge ahead, and obviously we know what the ultimate goal is.
When you came over here in that trade, and then you committed on a four-year deal, is kind of what you had in mind as far as, you know, what you were looking for with this team?
Yeah, it is. It's funny to look back on 2 years ago, the spot that I was in. I think I just signed with Buffalo and really didn't know where that was going to go. Obviously that season wasn't what I had in mind, and I come here and I just, you know, I wanted to be on a good team. I wanted to be on a winning team. I wanted to be on a team that came to the rink and enjoyed each other's company every day and had a lot of fun, and that's what we have. So I love Boston. I love the situation that I'm in. I'm 31 now, and to be a part of this group, I think we all realize how lucky we are and how much fun we have together. Something that, you know, I don't take for granted, and it's been a good good year and three quarters here so far.
You're reunited with David Krejci. He comes back from a season away. Maybe, you know, goals wise, maybe you guys haven't quite hit the ground running the way you might have hoped. But how do you feel that's going, and what do you guys still need to do better?
Yeah, that's the way it goes, right? It doesn't always go according to plan, and it's a hard league. And ultimately, we've found a way to contribute to a team that's 14-2, and that's the great part. And knowing that we maybe have more to give, and we're going to get better as the season goes on, I think maybe a bit unrealistic to expect, you know, Krejci to be, you know, guns a-blazing right off the bat. He played a year abroad. He's away from his family. It's a different situation for him than when he left. And I haven't, maybe the last, you know, five or six games, I haven't been as good as I want to be either. And obviously my first five games weren't great either. So I've had some moments as well, but that's hockey. And, you're always looking to improve and find ways to get better. And I think with David and I, we both have a lot of confidence that as the year goes on, we're going to be a really good line and a really good duo, no matter, you know, if we're together or not. There's not a lot of guys I'd rather play with than Krejci. So it's I think we're going to find our stride and hopefully be as consistent as possible.
Is there anything in particular you look at as, you know, here's where the room for improvement is, you know, here's what we can do better, you know, without, you
Yeah, I think we're probably just defending too much. So that's not what we want to be doing, right? We want to be on the attack. We want to be on offense. And we reviewed a few things actually this morning that we can do better, I can do better in our own end to exit the zone quicker. Because when they come in our end, it seems like they're able to spend a bit of time there. And, you know, when you're in your end for 10, 15 seconds, that's, you know, half your shift basically that you're occupied in your end. And I just think that we're defending a bit too much. So if we can clear that stuff up, the offense is going to take care of itself. I don't think that there's a lot of things to fix there. We just have to get to that point and get ourselves in the offensive zone, get the puck on our stick with a bit more.
Coach Montgomery moved Pastrnak back up with Bergeron and Marchand. You guys, you know, have DeBrusk, at least for the last game. We'll see if that stays. But do you feel like that's, you know, you can play the way that you need to play regardless of who's on the right wing?
Yeah, well, our team, you know, our system for our team doesn't change line to line. We all, you know, we all know how we have to play. And no matter if I'm with Krejci or who my line mates are, I know that I, you know, the role that I have to play and the way that I have to play. And JD's had a really good start to the year. He's engaged. He's got a ton of speed and he's in battles. He's played really well. So he can be a really good complement for Krejci and I.
Wanted to ask you about a couple guys that you've played with in the past who have come over, and Linus Ullmark comes over last year and now this year is off to an incredible start, you know, like Vezina Trophy caliber stuff. You played with him in Buffalo. Could you see, you know, flashes that there was a great goalie in there if he got to the right situation?
Yeah, you could see the flashes for sure. Unfortunately, he had a bit of injury trouble when we played together in Buffalo. But when he was in the net and when he was dialed in, it's what you're seeing now. And I think this has been a good team for him to be around, a good coaching staff. You know, specifically Bob Esenza has always done a really good job with the goalies here. And you're seeing how patient Linus looks in net. He's such a big guy, and he really takes up a lot of the net. So for him, it's important, from what I can tell, as a non-goalie. He's patient, and he's seeing the shot head-on. He's not making the first move, and he's forcing guys to really beat him, which is a hard thing to do when you're as big and athletic as Linus is. So he's been great for our team. He's been great in our dressing room, and that's a credit to the work that he's put in. And it's really good to see, and obviously a huge part of the reason that we're 14-2.
And then Pavel Zak is a guy you played with in New Jersey when he was, you know, really young, just starting his career. What do you see from him now that's different from all those years ago?
I see a lot of the same things. He's always had a ton of skill. He's always played with pace. You know, I think for him, as any young player can attest to, you need some confidence, you need some good teaching, you need some good guidance and an opportunity, which I think has been, you know, all of those things he's received here. And I don't know if he received all those things throughout his time in Jersey. He was, you know, shuffled around line to line when I was there. He never really got to play left wing, center, right wing. So I think, you know, he was a guy that when I saw we traded for him, there was a lot of potential there. And I was interested to see how he'd do in this group with this leadership and the people that are around the building. And he's been like a sponge. And you can see he's gotten better and better. He had a really good training camp, but he's followed it up with a really good start to the year. He makes plays whenever he's out on the ice. He's a positive presence and such a good guy to have in our room. He really likes hockey and he's a great guy. He's fit in well with our group, and it's good to see.
I like to end these with non-hockey questions. Charlie, Matt, you're a dog dad, right?
Yeah.
Charlie Magwood just launched this rocket fuel. You in on this or
no? I'm not in on it, but that's an awesome thing. I know Polka Dog. I like their products a lot. My dog loves their salmon treats actually, so that's awesome for Charlie and Rocket as well.
One of the big things on the internet today is that Taylor Swift tickets are like breaking the internet. No one can get them. You a Taylor Swift fan or you know?
No, but my wife is, and she's like trying to get tickets for the show in Boston. She's like, you know, she was actually telling me how hard it is. But I'm not a Swiftie, but I can respect how her as an artist and as a musician. She's done some amazing things, and she does have some pretty catchy stuff.
Who's the biggest Swiftie on the team?
I'm not sure. JD DeBrusque was talking about tickets, so maybe he's one to look for.
All right. Thanks a lot, Taylor.